Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show, Blog Talk Radio, on 7 days a week. Usually at 6:30, 8 o'clock, 9:30 or 11. It's on the button. And this show, I have to tell you, I'm going to give you the parameters of this show. But most of all, this show is out for truth and facts. It's not out for political rhetoric. It's not out for media lies and media falsehoods or propaganda. We aim to get critical, by critical thinking, to get at the facts and the truth. Those are the ways, that's how things work on this show. I want to talk a little about the basic parameters of the show, and then about the how I approach things in this show. I want to tell you the general topic. I have an MDiv degree from Princeton Theological Seminary, and I've served as a Lutheran pastor in the past, and I'm committed to the Christian dogmatic system completely, without one iota of change in that respect. But I have to say that this show, even though it is a Christian show, and let me talk a little about the basic parameters of this show. We have a great interest in great works of literature, whether German, Russian, French, English, American, etc. We are committed to loving great literature such as Tolstoy, War and Peace, such as Milton's Paradise Lost, such as E.M. Forster's Passage to India. We are committed to literary excellence in every way, and we wish to communicate this. Second, this is a Christian background show, although I welcome all faiths and all beliefs. I want to dialogue with them. I want to know them, because I know that Jesus died for all men and all women without question, and he loves them deeply and wishes them to wishes all people and all faiths, Buddhist, Islamic, whatever, to share his joy and love in heaven. As he said in the book of Timothy, Jesus would will that all men be saved, and I think he does want all men saved without question. Second, this is I'm a political conservative, but I draw the line. I follow Christ's directions and advice in this respect, and this is his advice and directions is concern for the poor and underclass. He doesn't want people poor. He says the poor are blessed, and the poor in spirit are blessed, not because he wants them poor, but because he believes they will be rewarded in their next life for the sufferings in this life. Jesus doesn't endorse poverty, but he thinks that he takes the position that people in poverty are more inclined to have religious belief than others who are not. But let me go on to my views of how this show works. This is a politically incorrect show. We're not out for political rhetoric. We're not out for media lies, media falsehoods, or propaganda. We're out to get at the facts and get at the truth, and by critical thinking, to get at the truth and the facts as much as we can in this show. Second, the show is a Christian show, and I adhere to the Christian worldview. I take the Holy Scripture, the guide of Holy Scripture, as the ultimate guide of truth, and I believe in every iota of the word of the Bible comes from the mind of God from Genesis to Revelation. I don't deviate one inch from that position. I don't plan to. It's the historical position of the church and always will be. The Bible is God's word. It is how he communicates his thoughts to men and women in this fractured, mixed-up society where everything is wrong and everything is right is ignored. Next, let me tell you that I adhere to the creeds of the church, the Apostles, Athanasian, and Nicene Creed. They are the guides of my life. And I just as I view the Holy Bible, Holy Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, as God's truth, I say the same of the creeds in the church. And I also adhere to the great Christian books, past and present, T.S. Eliot, G.K. Chesterton, C.S. Lewis, Augustine, the epistles of Paul. Let me say the epistles of Paul are the ultimate intellectual guides for me. Their greatness is very evident when you read it. The Bible contains God's truth and God's word, and the epistles of Paul are very important. So St. Augustine is one of the leading figures for me, as is St. Thomas Aquinas and many others in my life. So next, I have run two radio shows, a podcast show and a blog talk radio show. The podcast show has had over 400 visitors from many countries all over the world. And as well, the blog talk radio show has had many visitors from, particularly from Muslim countries. And I note that Saudi Arabia has been a visitor to this Christian show. I'm very pleased that my Muslim brothers and sisters across the world in Iran, Iraq, Malaysia, wherever they are listening to these Christian shows. I'm very pleased. I want to know them. I want to dialogue with them. I want to understand them. I want to relate to them. For me, Jesus, the face of Jesus and the face of God and the face of Jesus' love can be found in all faiths, in all men and women, without question. All are, can be, and will be saved if they repent and realize their sins. But I can say this much, that the face of Jesus and his love can be found in all men and women and in all faiths. Buddhist, Islamic, Hindu, wherever they are, there you're going to find Christ and his love. He died for all men, without question, all men and women, regardless of race and background, whatever, he died for all, and that is my position on this issue. I've also written 10 books, 5 Christian books, and 2 legal books. The legal books are Select Legal Topics, Volumes 1 and 2. The Christian books are Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy. A book on the parables. By the way, this book analyzes the 41 parables found in the Bible. And I say this about it, that the parables are the mind and thoughts of God and Jesus speaking to us on a daily basis. The parables are very great because they represent the thinking and mind of Jesus, who is God. That is the Christian religion. Jesus is God. I'm not changing that position because it's the true position. And in the parables, he speaks to us constantly. I've also written a book on the Psalms, all 150 Psalms. This book is the Psalms are one of the great books of the Bible. They are the John Donne, the great English poet, said of the Psalms, they were the manna of the church. They're very great. I read them in seminary in Hebrew. I memorized the 1st, 2nd, and 23rd Psalm in Sunday school when I was a young person. I read the Psalms daily because they stir me. They are spiritual food. They are the mind of Christ speaking to us. They are great lyric poetry. For a beginning point in understanding the Psalms, they are fantastic legal poetry. And again, I challenge you, ladies and gentlemen, once again I challenge you, which will you tire of more, the Psalms in a English translation or any other book in an English translation? You will not tire of the Psalms, but you will tire of that other book. I can guarantee that, because the Psalms and their greatness come across completely. I've written over 900 blogs, literary and philosophical and religious. These blogs are being turned into 4 books. I hope you'll enjoy them, and I'm taking great happiness in producing these books. I think in print and books you will find truth. You will not find, as Mortimer Adler said in How to Read a Book, a great book, he said, images, television, motion pictures, computers are drugs. He also made a comment that the Bible is the foundation of Western civilization, which a number of people, minorities, and fools in our society cannot accept. They haven't read the Bible. If they read it, they might agree with it. Not having read it, they're not in a position to comment, particularly, other than just articulate their prejudice against biblical revelation. I'm also writing a book on the book of Job in the Bible, a wonderful book of an Edomite, a non-Jewish person who was tried by God and passed the trials. I'm also writing a book on the miracles in the Bible. These will soon be completed. I'm writing another law book of criminal law, demands and notices and hearings. I haven't completed that book. It's quite extensive, but I hope it'll be completed in a year or so. I'm very excited about these publications. As I say, in print you will find thinking and truth. You will not find thinking in images and television. They are passive receptacles. They are a waste of your mind and my mind and everybody else's mind. You are made a fool of with these passive receptacles. You are not made a fool of with War and Peace. You are not made a fool of Anna Karenina. You will not be made a fool of T.S. Eliot or John Bunyan or G.K. Chesterton. These books will not make you a fool. The other television and movies will make you a fool. Next, I have written other books, Race, Jest, Die, a book on evidence, in Bender's Consolidated Evidence. I have written an encyclopedia article in New York Jurisprudence on criminal law, demands and notices. These are fully, the Race, Jest, Die and the criminal law encyclopedia article are available in most libraries. I've also written a chapter on paternity in New York family law practice, and I think you'll find it interesting. It's been widely bought by many places all across the world. And I also say this, I've written three very major articles on Academicus, on sex discrimination, sexual orientation discrimination, and the United States educational system. Both are analysis of these particular matters. They've been bought by the State Department and many other universities across the world in all continents, South America, Africa, Asia, wherever journalism books are sold. Finally, the Syracuse Law Review on criminal procedure article, a survey article, has been bought by the United States Supreme Court, and the State Department, and that particular article has been bought by universities across the globe. This about concludes what I'm saying today of my background. I'm a writer, and I'm very excited, and I love writing, because I do believe that in books, a world without books is a world where you will sink into ignorance and darkness. You're going to lose out. You're going to be destroyed without thought and books. Books contain thoughts, and these thoughts are invaluable. And when you read these books, your mind is developed and expanded and stretched. As Mortimer Adler said, the great books, which I mentioned too, like War and Peace and Resurrection by Tolstoy, and other books such as E.M. Forster's A Passage to India, these books stretch your mind, which is what you want. You want your mind developed. You want it stretched. You want to be made into what you are capable of. All of us, I think, can be a John Stuart Mill who learned Greek at the age of 3. All of us have that capacity if given the opportunity and chance. That's my conviction. That's why I talk to young people, because in young people are the potential for intellectual and literary greatness. Every one of them can be developed, like Mill, into something fantastic in thinking. John Stuart Mill was one of the great philosophers, English philosophers. He was one of the greats, and I love him and admire him. And I constantly read his autobiography, in which he tells me how his father guided him in thinking and developed him. And most of all, he learned Greek at the age of 3 and read most of the dialogues of Plato by the age of 12. That is what people are capable of if given the chance. And when they learn these things, their minds stretched. Their minds are stretched and developed. When they do not read, their minds are sink down into darkness and stupidity. Afraid so, ladies and gentlemen, that's about it. Now, tonight I'll give a brief talk on where is the church. Now, some people find this topic a little bit puzzling because they will say, well, the church is that building across the street. That's one way of doing it. But I don't think the church is a building, and what goes on in the building may be the church. It could be a sermon is the church, and the communion meal is the church. But I don't think these are the church. The church has a different place and has to be understood differently as to what it is. Let me say this, ladies and gentlemen. The church is the person of Christ. Where you find Christ in his love, where you find Christ in his joy and love, there you will find the church. The church is everywhere in the world in the face of the love of Jesus. Everywhere. It's not a building. It's not a minister. It's not a rabbi. It's none of those things. The church is Jesus and the person of Jesus. And where can you find the church? You'll find the church where Jesus is found. And Jesus can be found, as I said before the other night, in the face of all people in his love. That is where you're going to find the church, in the face of all humanity, reflected in the love of Jesus. Jesus died and cast down his life for all men and women, every one of them he gave up his life for. That is where the church is, the people that he cast down his life for, and that are destined, one would hope, for joy and love in heaven. And in Timothy, it was said by the Apostle Paul that God wills that all men be saved, and he does wish all men to be saved. He wishes nobody to be damned to eternity. There will be a judgment, but he wants all men to be with him in his love. And that is where the church is. The church is in the love of Christ. Christ may be found everywhere. Every single space of the world is filled with the love of Christ. In that little child, the unborn child, or in the dying man that has the last minute of life, there you will find Jesus, and there you will find the church. It's not a building. It's not an idea. It's not a thought. It is the person of Jesus Christ as he offers his love to all men and humanity. That's as much as I have to say about where the church is. You want to look for it, look at some people one of these days. Talk to some people. Understand them, people. Give them the love that Jesus gives them and wants them to have for all their lives. This is my end of this talk here, and I wish you the best.